All right, so I've been told, and I've been reading, that it's really good for to start out a sermon with a story. So once upon a time, there was a rabbi who was not good at starting his sermons with stories. So he just went straight to the scripture. The end. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to, I'm going to teach you one way to study the Bible for yourself, and it's called arcing. It's something that I've been doing and just recently came across the term for it. And arcing has to do with taking the phrases that you're looking at and making sure you know how they connect one to another. Because what happens too often in our Bible studies, if we're reading something, Paul especially, you know, Paul has this main idea and then a supporting idea and then a support for the support idea and then a support for the support, and you get lost in all these words. And so what we do is we just pick out a verse. Oh, that's a nice verse. The Lord loves me. Okay, but we lose the whole context of what it's all talking about. And so we're going to do that now, or you're going to follow me, I guess, as I kind of did it. Maybe you'll help here. How to arc Psalm 98. Let's take the first three verses. A psalm. Sing to Adonai a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have won victory for him. Adonai has made his salvation known. He has revealed his righteousness before the eyes of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Okay, a lot of words there, a lot of concepts there. We need to pick out what the main point is. Now, the main point is not necessarily the deepest theological point. Sometimes the deep theological truths back up what the main point of that particular passage is. Okay? What is the main thought? Not necessarily the most important theological point, but what is its main thrust? Whatever. And then ask, once you find out, what supports the main thought or answers the who, why, what, when, how of the main thought? And then after that, what supports that? Sometimes you've got the main idea, support, and then support behind that, or answering of questions behind that. Okay, going to go to the next slide. So here we are again, the first three verses of Psalm 98. And I hate when people do this to me because there's the chance of embarrassment. But some of you don't deal with that issue. What do you think the main point here is? And if you're afraid of being embarrassed, don't worry about it. Okay. He does marvelous things. What do you think?
We should praise him because he's done marvelous things. Let me tell you what the marvelous things are.
Yes, yes. Actually, Janelle's right in this case. But what Ivory picked up on is the strong theological thing, that us praising him does not compare to the marvelous things he does. But that's not the question here. The question is what is the thrust of the passage? The thrust of the passage is sing to Adonai. That's the thrust. That's in the imperative, the command form there. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay, so here I've color-coded it. The yellow is the main thrust. This is what the psalmist wants to happen. Sing to Adonai a new song. And then we can ask the question, why? Why sing to him a new song? Because, or for, key in the Hebrew, for he has done marvelous things, his right hand and his holy arm have won him victory. Sing to Adonai a new song. That's the main thrust, okay? If you get caught up in the other stuff and it doesn't result in you singing forth God's praises, you're missing the main point. Sing to Adonai. That is the main point of these verses. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm not a singer. or singing secondary to this or to that. And this psalm, the singing is the point. Sing to Adonai a new song, for he's done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have won victory for him. And then the question should be going through our head, what marvelous things? Okay, not yet. Thanks. What marvelous things? And there I have it in the brownish yellow. Adonai has made his salvation known. He has revealed his righteousness before the eyes of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness, his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. All of this ties into us singing him praise. So we sing him praise. Why do I sing him praise? Because he's done marvelous things. What marvelous things? And that's what verses 2 and 3 get into. Making his salvation known. Remembering his loving kindness, his faithfulness to the house of Israel, etc. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. It doesn't give us the particular. It doesn't say, oh, we're talking about the Exodus here, or we're talking about the return from captivity from Babylon. It doesn't give us the specific. And sometimes that's purposeful, I think, in the Psalms, to make it applicable over and over again to many different situations. My personal feeling is that this is not about the Exodus. Many of the Psalms look back to the Exodus to praise God. My personal feeling is that this is about something new going on, because it says, sing to him a new song. You can write new songs about old events, sure, but it just seems to me that the thrust here is God has done something new. God has done something new. Therefore, we will sing to him. Next slide. Okay, let's look at the following verses. And let's look for the main point here. Maybe similar. Little hint. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy, and sing praises. Sing praises to Adonai with the harp and a voice of melody, with trumpets and sound of the shofar. Blast a sound before the king, Adonai. Let the sea roar and all within it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy together before Adonai, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with fairness. Okay? And so that's a lot of words, and we get lost in it. But then we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the main point? Okay? What do you think the main point is? Shout joyfully. Good. All right, Ivory, you get the reward for most improved student. Good job. Shout joyfully to Adonai. Very good. And the break forth in joy. These are, again, in the imperative forms, the command forms in the Hebrew. This is what the psalmist wants to see happen. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Okay, next slide. Okay, there it is, color-coded again. Okay, the main point in the yellow. Shout joyfully to Adonai, all the earth. Break forth, sing for joy, and sing praises. Sing praises to Adonai with a harp and a voice of melody. And then the next verses answer the question, how? Okay? Not so much why yet, but how? Okay? How should I do this? How should I make that joyful noise to the Lord? With trumpets and the sound of the shofar, the ram's horn, the shofar blast, a sound before the king Adonai. Let the sea roar. Okay, so it's not just us praising God, all of creation praising God. Let the sea roar and all within it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy together before Adonai. And then we have that all-important word. Whenever you see a connecting word in the scripture, you got to ask what it's there for. Okay, for is an important word. A lot of times we memorize verses and the verse starts with the word for. Okay, that's great. Memorize that verse, but it's good to know for. Why? For means because. What's the because? Well, you have to understand the context. So ask the question, what is, because why? Because why? Why is all this going on? Why am I shouting joyfully to the Lord? Why am I breaking forth in joy? Why am I pulling out my trumpet and my shofar? Why is the sea roaring and the rivers clapping their hands all before the Lord? Because, key in the Hebrew, because he's coming to judge the earth, he will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with fairness. Now, this does not sit well with us in our modern thought, our modern lingo. God's coming to judge the earth does not sound like, yay, he's coming to judge us. In our minds, it sounds like something fearful, right? Something strict. I'm coming to judge you. But what's going on here in this biblical mindset is this idea of looking around at the world and seeing that there is not justice.
Yeah.
There is no justice. It looks like the poor are being oppressed. It looks like those who oppress are the ones getting rich. It looks like those who are innocent are getting taken advantage of. And those who are guilty are the ones. It seems like there's no justice in the world.
Yeah.
And this is one of the big issues with not believing in a God who establishes justice, is that there are people in this world who will never get justice. I would say most people. If there's no God who doesn't come and provide some justice, most of the people in this world will never have any. Okay? In America, we've eked out a judicial system that sometimes works well and sometimes doesn't. But in most of the world, forget it. You're starving in Africa or in India. Well, that's just it. That's just your life. Praise God, he's coming to provide justice. Praise God, he's coming to take care of those who are oppressed. Turn with me. I'm sorry I don't have this on the slide, but turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. Okay. It says, then a shoot will come forth out of the stem of Jesse. And that's what you were talking. There's your Isaiah 11 one.
Yeah.
Yeah, something one. You got the verse number right and the book right. Then a shoot will come forth out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of his roots. The Ruach, the Spirit of Adonai, will rest upon him. This is a messianic prophecy. Isaiah is about 700 years before Yeshua is born, and he's giving a prophecy of the coming Messiah. And the Spirit of Adonai will rest on this Messiah, will rest on this Yeshua, on Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and insight, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Adonai. His delight will be in the fear of Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the poor of the land. He will strike the land with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. The one coming to judge is the Messiah. And didn't he do exactly that? Slay the land with the words of his mouth. Didn't he say to the leper, be clean, and touched him in a society where you're not supposed to touch lepers? And didn't he say to those who were wealthy and lording their spiritual authority over them, hypocrites? So he comes and he judges. And we find ourselves before the Messiah, the ultimate judge. And whether you are judged innocent or guilty is not a matter of how much money is in the bank. You cannot bribe him. It's not a matter of how spiritual you look. You cannot deceive him. It is a matter of, is your heart humble before him? And if your heart is humble before him, then this one who comes to judge says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. But to the ones who put on a show, but they have no love in their hearts, he says, away from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And so the one coming to judge is the Messiah himself. And it's because of this that we shout joyfully to Adonai, that we break forth, that we sing for joy, that we sing praises, that we do all of these things. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Here it is, these command words. Sing in verse 1 of Psalm 98. Shiru. Shout joyfully. Hariu. Sing praises. Zamru. Do all these things because you are found accepted in the sight of the Lord through the Messiah. You accepted me. You accepted my sacrifice because of your humble heart. You knew you couldn't save yourself. You knew you couldn't deceive the Lord. You knew you couldn't bribe the Lord. You received me instead. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. And the judge who is coming says to you, you are forgiven. You are beloved. And we rejoice. And we sing. And we blow the shofars. And we clap our hands and we make some noise about this. Right? So worship is not this meek little, let me sing a few hymns out of the hymnal. Now, if that's somebody's way of doing it, fine. Do it that way, but make sure in your heart is that joyful, can't hold it back sound because of the two things in the song. Go ahead and go to the next things. Okay? Because why? Remember the first part of the song. Because he has done marvelous deeds. Looking to the past and not the distant past. Right? So I'm going to ask you this question. Okay? I'm going back now. Forgive me. I'm jumping around here a little bit. I'm going back to Psalm 98. And I'm talking about the first part again. Remember, the main point was sing. And the main backup for why do I sing is because the Lord has done marvelous things. But because it says sing a new song, I think those marvelous things are things that are just happened or are still happening. And so I want to ask you, is the Lord active in your life? Is the crucifixion of the Messiah something that happened in your mind 2,000 years ago? Or is it something that's alive and living and active in your life right now? Are you interacting with it right now? Praise God, he died for my sins. Praise God, he rose from the dead. Praise God for that victory because I'm feeling it right now, because I'm receiving his spirit through that act right now. Because let me tell you something that happened the other day. I often mention that I love to go for walks in the woods, that this kind of my prayer time. In this particular place where I was walking, I just happened to look up into one of those huge oak trees that we have here in Tallahassee with a huge branch that's as big around as most trees are at their stump. And up on that tree was, up on that branch was a, what do you call it? The skeleton, the Santa Muerta or something like that. Are you familiar with that false religion where they worship death? And you know what I'm talking about? They worship death, the saint of death. I'm not quite sure what it is in the Spanish. It's been a while. And it was, it just kind of put a pail over that part of my walk, right? And I just felt a heaviness there. And I started praying for the people that might, who knows what, gather around under it or put it up there or whatever. Lord, free them. Lord, free them and bring that down. And bring that down, right? And so went back for another walk around there. And I was looking for it. I didn't see it. And then I look on the ground and that huge branch on the ground with that idolatrous thing crumpled up underneath of it. You know, and Because God is doing stuff now, right? Sing to him a new song for his marvelous deeds, not just 2,000 years ago, but because the reality of that is very present here and now. And the second part of the psalm, praise him. Go to the next slide. Praise him because of what he's going to do, that he's coming to judge the earth. So I want you to praise him for two things: his work in you now, and the future of him coming and him bringing justice to the earth. Go and go to the next slide. Next slide. Thanks. I want to tie it in with Ephesians chapter 1. Wait a second. Go back a slide. There we go. Sorry. Okay. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14. In him, we also, in Messiah, we also were chosen, predestined according to his plan. Don't get too tied into that predestined thing. Did God just choose me and I had no say in it or whatever? It's saying the plan. I believe it's saying the plan is predestined. The path is predestined. Not that we have no self-will, no freedom of choice, right? In him we were chosen, predestined according to his plan. He keeps working out all things according to the purpose of his will, so that we who were first to put our hope in Messiah might be for his glorious praise. After you heard the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, and when you put your trust in him, you were sealed with the promised Ruach HaKodesh, the promised Holy Spirit. He is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of his possession to his glorious praise. So we've got two things here that align with Psalm 98. We've got joy in what the Lord has done and joy in what the Lord is going to do. Joy in what the Lord has done. He's living, he's alive, he's active to his glorious praise because we have put our hope in the Messiah. Praise him because you've put your hope in the Messiah and his spirit is alive and active in you here and now. And praise him because you know that the Holy Spirit within you is a guarantee of our inheritance, a guarantee of better things to come. Go ahead and go to the next slide. I think this might be the last slide. Our current hope, new hope in Messiah, is for his glorious praise. We praise him now with new songs for what he has done. Psalm 98:2. This parallels Ephesians and Psalm 98:2. His right hand and his holy arm have won victory for him. And then the future redemption. We wait for the future, the full future redemption we wait for is to his glorious praise. And as it says in Psalm 98:9, for he's coming to judge the earth. I feel like the connection between Ephesians and Psalm 98, maybe I explained it in a confusing way. So let me just end with this. In Psalm 98, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Why? Why should I sing to you a new song? Because he has done marvelous deeds. What kind of marvelous deeds? Marvelous deeds that the whole earth has seen. His faithfulness to Israel, his salvation, his victory, his deliverance. And Ephesians is saying the same thing. Praise the Lord because you have put your faith in the Messiah and what he has done through the Messiah. Let that be in your life here. Let that be in your life now. Let it be active. And then Psalm 98 continues. Praise God for he's coming to judge the earth. He's coming to bring righteousness to the earth. And Ephesians 1 is saying the same thing. Praise God because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit and you know that you've got a great day of redemption coming. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. We want to grab a hold of the main thrust of Psalm 98, which is to praise you, which is to sing to you, which is to shout joyfully to you. If we miss that, and we just focus on the marvelous deeds, and we just focus on that you're coming to judge the earth, we're missing the main thrust. The main thrust is praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. And then what do we praise you for, Lord? We praise you for the marvelous deeds you have worked. We praise you for the marvelous deed you have done in Messiah on our behalf. And we praise you for what you are going to do, that you are coming to bring righteousness to the earth. And so, Lord God, set that spirit of praise within us. No more the spirit of doubt. No more the spirit of fear. No more the spirit of negativity. But now the spirit of praise. And I just pray that for each one of us now, Lord. Put within us the spirit of praise. To praise you for what you have done, and to praise you because we have faith in what you will do. To praise you for Messiah and his active word in our lives here and now, and to praise you for Messiah who will be the ultimate judge of the earth on that last day. And we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for this. In Yeshua's name we all say, amen.